So our next storyteller, Rachel Vreeman. She is a pediatrician and at the IU Center for Global Health Director of Research. She spends about 5 months of the year in Eldoret conducting research and providing pediatric clinical care. She has also co-authored 3 medical myth books. So if you search Don't Cross Your Eyes on Amazon, you'll be able to find them. And the title of her story is Miriam. So let's put together for Rachel.
So I have learned as a pediatrician that I should never go to an orphanage in Kenya without bringing my stethoscope, no matter what has brought me to that orphanage. So about 5 years ago, I was visiting the Kenyan couple who have essentially adopted me as their daughter. And after our dinner, they mentioned that there was a girl that they wanted me to see. This is what happens when you're a pediatrician. And they said this girl's name was Miriam, and she had been coughing, and they were worried about her. Well, it turns out that Miriam had been sick off and on for the last few years. She'd had a lot of pneumonias and other infections. And when I listened to her lungs and saw how small and frail she was and realized that she had swollen lymph nodes all over her body, I was immediately worried that Miriam had HIV. And the orphans at this particular children's home were all thought to be HIV negative. They had all been tested before, supposedly. And even though all of their parents had died from HIV, this was a home only for children who were uninfected. And it can be difficult in Kenya to find placements for orphans who have HIV. So I was really worried that if I was right, that if she had this infection, that they wouldn't let her stay at that home. And that especially made me worried because I knew Miriam's story. So Miriam, this 12-year-old girl, had watched her father die, and then her mother die, and then her sister die, all from HIV, although she didn't know that. And her uncle and aunt took her in, but they already had 4 children who they had a lot of trouble feeding, and they made it clear that they wouldn't be able to take care of Miriam for very long. So Miriam tried to be as helpful as she could there. She cooked and she cleaned and she took care of the younger children, but she woke up every morning worrying that this might be the last day that she could stay there. She told me that she empathized with the chickens in the yard who really didn't know if they might turn into the meal for that night. That's how insecure she felt at that home. And when the children's home opened and offered her a place, that meant security and unspeakable riches for Miriam. It meant a bed. It meant 3 meals a day. It meant 2 sets of clothes. And the biggest prize of all for her, it meant that she got to go to school. She said she was thankful every day that she was at the children's home. But there was this problem, the problem that had brought her to me in my stethoscope. So she kept having these pneumonias. She kept having to miss school because she was coughing. She had fevers. She was losing weight. And in fact, Miriam knew something was wrong. She thought about her parents, even though she didn't know what exactly had happened to them. And she worried that the morning was going to come when she wouldn't wake up either. Now, the next day, after seeing Miriam for that first time, I brought her and the children's home director to our clinic at Ampath. And I sat with them in the little room where we do HIV tests. And then I walked them back to the area of the clinic where we see children, and I had them sit in the exam room there. And someone from the testing area brought me a little slip of paper, and on that paper were her test results. And unfortunately, I was right. Miriam was HIV positive. And I'll always remember bringing them into my room. And first, I talked to the children's home director, and I told him about Miriam's results. And then with his agreement, I brought in Miriam, and I told her that she had HIV. Now, I've told lots of parents that their children have HIV, and I've told a lot of children that they have HIV. But I'll always remember that particular day with Miriam. I looked in her eyes and I had to say to this 12-year-old that this same virus that had killed her parents and her sister, that this virus lived in her blood too. And somehow, with Miriam, I felt this sadness and hopelessness that I don't always feel. I felt like somehow by seeing this diagnosis and guessing that it was there and bringing her to get tested and telling her about it, as though I had somehow caused this, like I had somehow made this happen. Now, I had worried, as I said, about the reaction of the children's home. They had thought they didn't have the capacity to take care of children with HIV because at that time, they didn't have electricity and they didn't have running water and they were a bit far outside of town. So I was worried, would they let her stay? Would they be able to manage her medicines? Would they be able to bring her to clinic? But her diagnosis was a turning point for them. They let her stay. They began to take good care of her medicines. And in fact, they've actually grown over the years now to accept quite a number of children who are HIV infected, and they take excellent care of them. And Miriam's diagnosis was a turning point for me, too. Over the last 5 years, I've had the privilege of watching Miriam grow up. HIV treatment lets you grow up. And I've seen her now. I get to check in with her whenever she comes to the clinic. And I've seen her find her place in one of the support groups that we run for adolescents with HIV through the AMPATH program. And as I've gotten to know her over the years and she's gotten older, I shared with her once how terrible I felt on that day that I diagnosed her. I really thought she would always think of me as being connected with having this burden, this HIV diagnosis placed on top of her. And I'll never forget what she immediately said back to me. What she told me has really shaped how I view my work in Kenya, especially when things are really hard, when it all seems like dying and suffering and poverty and terrible things like I can't do anything about. What Miriam told me was this. She said, "You should not be sorry. I knew that my body was dying, and you were the answer to my prayer that I would be able to get strong again." She said, "What I needed most was for you to be there." Now, Miriam has indeed become strong again, as I said. If you looked at her among the 20 girls in the dormitory at the boarding school where she's going to high school, you would never be able to pick out which one has HIV. And her future really is bright. She's looking at college. She wants to be a doctor. She talks about taking care of children with HIV herself and AMPATH someday. So Miriam does remind me of the scope of what we can do, but also what we cannot do in our partnership in Kenya. So sometimes there are things that I can do as a doctor to bring healing and health to my patients. And sometimes there are things that I can do as a researcher and as an advocate to change our healthcare systems and bring about services that are desperately needed. I love being able to do those things. The reason that I love my work with IU and with AMPATH is because it does afford so many opportunities to make changes and to fix things. But sometimes I can't make things any different. I can't fix things. I cannot take away your HIV. I cannot give you back parents. I cannot wipe out the poverty that's all around you. But what Miriam needed most, what she said, was that she needed me to be there. She needed me to be present and to bear witness to her there in that moment. And that's what it reminds me of. When I think of bearing witness, I think of what it means to say, "I see you, I hear you, I hear your story, I am present with you here, and I will tell your story." And so that's what I look for in those times. I look for the grace to bear witness to what I've seen. Now, I could tell you stories all night about things that the AMPATH partnership has done. And I think that this story, though, is the one that I remember when I feel helpless in the face of things that we cannot do. When I remember that Miriam told me that there are times when what's really needed is to be present and to bear witness to what you've seen and what you've learned in that time. And so that's what I'm trying to do with this here. So thank you for letting me bear witness with you tonight and for bearing witness to all of these stories. Thank you.